something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on TNT.
Does my Hootie impression really sound like Creed?
Yes. Jonathan went to Switzerland too.
Plus, you'll meet not a big deal guy. It's all coming up right now on TNT. Hey, bud.
Hey, bud. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, good.
So you were golfing
I'm doing
with
better.
Taylor I was, Pendrith.
Yeah. I'm kind of bummed that the weather hasn't really been... It's not here yet. Summer is not nowhere to be seen.
It's not here either. So, it's been like single digits and rainy all of May.
And then it'll be like 19, so you think, okay, we're good. No more cold days. Double digits from here on out. Nothing. Back to 9 and raining. So I've been trying to golf. I've, as you know, being in Barrie a lot and having a little more time during the day, I've actually played golf in Barrie with my buddy Ernie Vatese a couple times. So that that was cool.
With your buddy who?
Ernie Vatese. He's an old friend, golfing friend.
I want a friend with a name like Ernie Vatese.
Yeah, right? It's a great name. Yeah, he's a great dude, but he's good friends with Laird as well.
It's he that sounds kind of like group. A character like a on a suspect on NYPD Blue.
Yeah, where's Vatese? Yeah. He disappeared. What do you know?
It's time to go pay Ernie Vatese a little visit.
So, I played with Ernie a few times, and then I got down to Legoville, which is Summit. Golf course just south of here with our bod Taylor Pendrith, who listens to the pod on the reg.
Nice.
And also Ryan Strome, who's a great guy. Former Oiler, as you would love, now a Ranger. And Mitchell Thierrett, who's he plays in Europe, and he's Taylor's caddy right now for the Canadian tour.
Yeah.
So anyway, it was great to play with Taylor because he hits the ball a mile. Like, it's ridiculous. Literally, like, 100 yards past, and you know, my drive.
So is that fun for him?
Ridiculous. Well, yeah, because he's getting his game together for the Canadian tour. This was a couple weeks ago. He's out west now. And it's fun for him just to kind of get to playing just because it's been a winter for him and he's been hitting balls inside or going to Florida or whatever, so it was just good to hang with him, and we had a bunch of laughs, man. We were talking about I think back in the day with OLP, I used to popularize the Levon Helm from, I think, his book, This Wheel's on Fire. Levon Helm's book, he says, I would always pull the fun rope as opposed to the not fun rope.
Oh, I like that expression.
When you wake up in the day and there's whatever to do, and you could do the not fun work, or you could do the fun work, or you know what I mean? So pulling the fun rope, for me, being out there, I was just saying, hey, you know, it's having a great day. I'm golfing with you guys. This is a full-on fun rope day. And they're like, what? I'm like,
what's a fun rope?
When you're gonna have a good time, you pull the fun rope, and that just stuck to the point where now, like, on texting back and forth, I think it was Mitch who put the heading as the title of the chat is fun rope.
It's great.
it might spread in the hockey world of like, oh, you know, just had a great game today, just gonna pull the fun rope and just take it easy for a night.
So what did Strome say about being an Oiler?
Well, I mean, he said it was it's like, I guess, in terms of hockey playing, because they're always adored athletes in cities where they're at, but I think there's an exception when it comes to Edmonton and how players are treated. It just kind of, they can do, you know, just kind of go wherever they want, and everybody just kind of wants to show them the best time possible. Yeah, so it's just, he said it was just more evident there than anybody, any other place that he's played, or, you know, I guess being there. And I've heard the same thing from other hockey players in the past, just like, if you like to have a good time, or if you like to just, you know, be social in a city, Edmonton is the best place for that. So
it is a full-on fun rope.
Mm-hmm.
And what did he say about Connor?
But it's kind of an even trade going to New York, though, because, you know, you get the culture and all the new and the old and the restaurants and the madness. Not that it's not in the same aspect in Edmonton, but, I mean, it's New York City, so good times.
Somebody oh, I see. So you can be anonymous in New York in ways that you can't be in Edmonton. But maybe the red carpet doesn't get rolled out as much as it does in Edmonton.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, exactly, when you're like, what are you doing tonight? Well, I'm going to see frickin' the Eagles at Madison Square Garden, right? So, it's a little different.
What did he say about Kana?
We didn't talk about Kana. That's just me. That's kind of one of those things where, I don't know, I feel like we're playing golf, we're having fun. Why would you stir it up with that one? There's lots of questions I asked him, but I'd ask him about, like, a thing where, what's it like? And I think it's just the microscope is too strong on that one. I don't know.
Ask him? Because I'm the first to say you're either a friend or a fan and you can't be both. I totally get that. But yeah. I feel like, how's Connor is a legitimate question.
Yeah, it is. I don't know. Maybe next time I'll throw that out there for sure. But
what did you throw out there?
I don't know. I'm trying.
Was Taylor sharing any P11 stories or anything from the golf world?
Well, I mean, nothing that I can share on the podcast, that's for sure.
Right.
Like, I can't say any of that stuff.
By the way,
there's always some P11 talk.
We're watching the Voice finale, and Hootie and the Blowfish played two songs on the Voice finale.
Yeah, that's awesome. So
we have to go see... Yeah. Bare Nakeds and Hootie.
Yeah.
This summer they have one stop in Canada, right?
Yeah, we gotta go. And I've been talking to Ed, and we gotta get together and go to that show. We have to go.
You know,
for sure.
I think this often benefits bands from back in the day when they appear on things, with the exception of maybe Air Supply in the season finale of The Bachelor last year, which was such a non sequitur. Yeah. But you hear Hootie and the Blowfish play last night with the benefit of 20 years of not hearing them, and you're like, you know what? They're all right.
Well, I mean, those songs are the same as they were then. They stand the test of time. It doesn't... It's honest. It's not trying to be anything, you know what I mean? It's not like cheesy cock rock from the 80s and, like, just posing. It's not. It's just, like, they're all wearing, like... frickin' shorts and shirts that you would see the guys on a municipal golf course.
Right.
That's the clothes that they would
wear.
It's
cargo shorts rock. Yeah. That's the breed. That's the brand of rock it is.
Hey, man,
shorts rock.
Apparently, there's not a better time to be had than hanging with those guys. So
really?
Yeah. I heard they're just, like, great dudes, and they just want, like, they're full-on fun rope.
He's also a great singer.
The other thing is, like, with the elephant in the room on this tour is the history with Darius and the history with Ed.
Right.
being like the Uncle Milties of each country.
Birdsman. Birds of a Feather tour.
Through folklore of college parties. And touring the eastern seaboard of Charleston and the Carolinas, hearing stories about hanging out with Darius.
Man, so is he a holler outer?
What?
Like,
what
is he is a that? Was it, like, maybe that's the fun rope.
Holler or outer? What does that? Yeah, even, like, what does that mean?
Does he haul it out?
Well, but
like, here's the fun rope if you guys want to pull it.
Oh, no, I don't think it's like that. That's P11, though.
Right.
That's
like
more
party P11. Trick.
Yeah, no, I don't think so, no. And like I said, I don't want to throw, like, I don't want to throw any stories out there that are going to be crazy for anybody to hear.
I think people would love it. All that to say, he has a great voice. And it's, yeah. If anything, only gotten better with time. Yeah. And that would be a fun night out.
It would be for sure.
To see those two.
Night, wouldn't it?
They didn't do Only Want to Be With You, which was mildly disappointing.
No, really?
Yeah. But they did Hold My Hand, I Want You to Hold My Hand.
Let Her Cry.
They did that one, too. Let Her Cry. But he's doing this, like, he's not judging the lyrics, but he's kind of like riffing in and out of the waves in a big way.
Oh, like, he wasn't like doing the heart. Instead of like,
she sits alone by a lamppost.
Was he doing gonna be eaten by the bee, like the screaming? Yeah. Was he doing that?
Yeah, but he's doing like, she's there with a lamppost. Like abbreviated kind of versions of it.
What's the, when he's singing hard at the end?
And Let Her Cry? And the tears fall down like rain. I think it's the, you're not used to hearing vibrato on a deep voice like that. And the tears fall down like rain. No,
but the first one in that phrase is harder.
When it eases all her pain, let her go. When the sun comes out tomorrow, let her grow. Let her go.
That sounds the same as the Creed.
Well, it is like a softer Creed. You know she's there with a lamppost.
Like if you do that Creed songs, it's the same. The higher and all that stuff.
Can you take me higher? So my Creed guy and Hootie is the same? Oh, no.
It's exactly. It's totally.
It is the same. But yeah, is it because they sound the same?
No. It's because Creed guy has more gruff. Creed guy is a guy with no soul doing a guy with soul. So it's like fake Eddie Vedder is Creed, right? Like, because Eddie Vedder has more soul in his voice.
Well, I guess. Yeah.
And when you're doing it, it's like the parody. So it has like that kind of fakeness.
But Creed.
But the Creed guy like made a lot of money doing that fake voice.
Yeah, so is he just Hootie with more stank on it? Can you take me higher? There's more like grit, right?
No. Well, I think it's coming from a shallower plane.
You try you know to I mean? Sing like higher.
It's not deep.
You sing you know higher. I mean? Like you're Darius in the booth.
Darius Rucker's voice has really got a lot of bottom to it.
Yeah.
So that's the difference. It's way more bottom end.
You but sing Can You Take Me Higher, but you mean it.
Me?
Sing Why? Take Me Higher right now like you mean it. You're in the booth. It's a dry vocal take.
Can you take me higher?
You can't even do it without laughing.
I know, but because it's Creed.
I'm going to do it as though
Are you going to do it not all like for real?
Can you take me higher? I can't.
Like you sound like him in the booth though. Like good take.
Can Let's you take me higher? I can't even do it. I can't even do it.
No, but no, you gotta try and do it like Scott Stapp.
Is that his name?
Yeah. Because it's perfect when you do it like that.
Okay, do Let Her
which
Cry,
is more,
but mean
which
it.
Which is more grit.
Let her cry when the tears fall down like rain. Let her sing when she needed all her pain. You sing, I'm such a baby, yeah, the dolphins make me cry, but do it as best you can, for real.
Okay. Like, I'm such a baby, even the dolphins make me cry.
I mean, it's not, It's not terrible. No. I'm such a baby, yeah, the dolphins make me cry.
Why are you singing it all John Denver and soft?
I guess I went up.
Here's the dolphins make me cry.
Like all I'm such a baby, yeah, the dolphins make me cry.
Now it sounds like Scott Stapp.
I don't even know who I'm doing anymore.
No, but it's even better that it's like Scott Stapp, like if Darius
I'm Rucker... such a baby, girl, the dolphins make me cry.
Like Darius Rucker was kidnapped, but they had to use Scott Stapp for a tour.
He's being held in a room in the basement, and all you can hear is, I'm such a baby,
you hear it all mint in the basement, all muffled.
He's singing to himself to keep his spirits up. That took a weird, dark turn. Hey, speaking of weird, dark turns, I did the Canada Land podcast this week.
Weird, dark turn.
Well, I guess the reason I
said well, let that me, as a segue, let me ask... Let me ask you, because I want to know, like, as an observer, it's Jesse Brown, so it's not like, all right, let's just get into the pop culture of the last 5 years and have a laugh. It's kind of like, almost like combative reporting, where what's he gonna talk about and what kind of angle is he going at?
Well, I guess right? After, so he sent me a message and said, hey, just a thought, we should have you on sometime to talk about your varied media career. And
which is pretty vague, like, I guess.
Pretty vague.
Yeah.
So I was like, sure. And then after I said yes, I was like, that's probably the closest to W5 calling me that would ever happen. And so I started to think, am I being set up? Is this an ambush of some kind? Is he waiting to pounce or is he baiting the hook? Like, hey, let's talk about Jonovision. When I get there, he's going to mock me or ridicule me.
Yeah.
So from the get-go... He was like, hey, how you doing? And I was like, you you don't sound like you're ready for a hatchet job. And he was like, what are you talking about? And I was like, well, I guess there's part of me that assumes you're going to attack me in some way. So I'm just trying to figure out which angle you might take.
Yeah. Is that how it started?
Yeah. Like
the interview?
Yeah.
That's wicked. I love
Well, I was
that.
Like, let's put the hatchet on the table.
Yeah,
like I know it might be here, so here it is. So are you planning to reach for it at any time? And it was he didn't. It was a good chat. And I guess the closest it got to any kind of hatchetry was tell me the real reason you left Trailer Park Boys, which is a question I've been asked an awful lot, and I said no one big reason, 100 small reasons. It was just time, ultimately. And if you look back at my career, I've always kind of left to try to get to the next thing before it was too late. But there was one thing that I wanted to talk to him about. When Thank You Canada came out, he was like, this is the worst thing I've ever seen.
I remember that.
Yeah, and my reaction was like, I can see how if you're cynical and your job is to critique things, I can see how you could knock it for being a little earnest or a little syrupy or a little sincere. At best, it's an eye roll. But the amount of anger and hatred he had towards it, I thought was completely out of whack. Like, just Ricky Gervais has a bit where he's like, the internet's like standing in front of a bulletin board. And you take a number from a guitar lessons flyer and call the person up and say, I hate guitar. Like, what are you doing that for? Just don't take the number. Don't call. You don't have to watch it if you don't like it. It's not a big deal. So I was glad to have an exchange with him in which I said, I feel like when you're cynical for a living, you can cynic yourself into a corner. And then you lack the ability to be sincere about anything because you have to approach everything by by poking it with a stick or a cocked eyebrow or looking down your nose at it. So I was glad that we got to have that exchange. I said, you know, one of the things I think that's allowed me to work as long as I have is I'm not the best at anything, like a Swiss Army knife, but I do a bunch of different things okay, and that's allowed me to kind of keep changing it up. But I'm worried that if that's your only gear, what else you got? What's the long ball in being angry guy? Because it gets tiresome.
Yeah. No, it does. And it eats away, too.
It does eat away, and it doesn't feel good. Like, you're just braced every time something comes out to go, ha, that sucks.
Yeah.
So he said, I do a lot of different things like you. I'm not worried about that. But it wasn't contentious, and it wasn't a hatchet job. It was a good conversation. But it's funny how in the time between saying, sure, man, and wait a sec, and actually doing it, I really had a, oh, man, what could this be? But you look kind of in your past and in your psyche and think, I don't think there's anything legit he could say that would hurt me. And that's what I said ultimately about Thank You Canada. I said, it's great to be at a place in my life and my career where you saying you hate it doesn't get my heart rate up even one beat per minute. Like, I don't care. And that's maybe the most freeing thing, because as we've said before, genuine indifference is the most powerful emotion. My mother-in-law says, the second you raise your voice, you've lost the argument. And that's the best advice.
No, it's good to, I think getting bad reviews, you read, it doesn't take too many of them for you to go, you wake up and go, all right, what's the point of this?
Well, also, live, who cares?
A live show or something, like someone has a problem with something, so the review is affected, and it's just one of those things that there's always going to be something bad to be said. And I got over that a long time ago. I think in my mid-20s was the last time I cared about somebody, something said about me.
Right. Well, he said, and this was a fair criticism, he sent me a message at the time and said, are the companies and the things that you list in the song, because it was not unlike this podcast, like the cliches that make us Canadian, Tim Hortons and Don Cherry and all those kind of familiar, if a little dated references. He said, did those companies pay you to be involved with this song? And I wrote him back and said, no, not even a bit. It was but seriously, moment at the end of this very silly hour. 2 million people watched it, and in Canada 150 thought it was kind of a nice tribute. Like, more people liked it than didn't.
Yeah.
But his thing was, are you on the clock for these people? Which I wasn't.
Yeah.
Anyway, I can't remember what my point was. Oh, this is it. He said, I feel like the references in that song, I look out the window over my place in Toronto, those references represent 1 in 50 people that I see. And that's a fair statement. It is a very specific slice of Canadianity that isn't everyone's experience. And that's true.
Yeah.
That's fair.
That's it.
Yeah. And I cop to it.
Dig it.
Take a break, bud, and then we'll be back with boodle dat 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 buddy it. Big, major, prestigious breaking news. Breaking news. Taggart, tell the people.
We have a show for Montreal Buds. Actually, it would be great to have all Buds. All Buds across Canada, please come to Just for Laughs.
It's an All Buds 2019. Bulletin.
A Buds Bulletin. It's Just for Laughs 2019, July 24th at the Ovation Room in Montreal. Just for Laughs TNT show in the coveted spot at 11:30 a.m.
That was a bit of a surprise.
I can't wait to get up at 5
or stay up. I didn't know. We've known for a few months now that we are going to be at Just for Laughs, which is great. It is very prestigious. It is an honor to be invited. It is true.
Yeah.
Typically, I guess most comedy things happen in the evening, but maybe the podcast spot, like I know Mark Forward does the state of Canadian comedy. I know that's often during the day at Just for Laughs. So maybe they have more during the day events than we're aware.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it is quite a festival. And we're going right into the epicenter of it being in Montreal.
And you could also argue that maybe there won't be as much competition for things at 11:30 a.m. We should rent a 15-passenger van for any buds that want to come from Toronto.
Yeah.
If you're thinking
drive,
about...
And drive out there with them?
Yeah. Well, if you're thinking about when to take your vacation, this is the only confirmed Taggart and Torrance show this upcoming summer. Mm-hmm. There are worse places to spend time in the summer than Montreal.
Yeah.
July 24th, it's a Wednesday, and we are performing at 11:30. I think it's an hour.
Yeah, and it's an hour.
We haven't talked about it a whole lot. I guess it'll be a lot like Taggart and Torrance live show, right?
It will be, yeah.
Just with less people there.
We'll get a bus and we'll drive the night before. And what?
Buds, it's an away game.
Or do you want to like get him at wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning and drive?
It's an away game, so we need everyone to dress.
6 hour drive.
You know what? For what they're paying us, we should throw that into renting a bus. We should charter a bod bus. That would be amazing.
I know, but then we got to get hotel rooms.
Well, let's say people are on their own for accommodations, but let's use the hashtag BudBus. Let us know if you would be into taking a BudBus from Toronto, and maybe we can arrange that.
Yeah.
Maybe we can arrange a BudBus because it would behoove us to have a bunch of buds there.
Yeah, and it's our only thing going on, really, as show, in terms of our only scheduled show for the summer, and let's do it.
And we'd rather have it rammed than empty.
Yeah.
Hashtag bud bus. Who's in?
Any Laidlaw buds out there? Bluebird buds? Like school bus buds?
See, Bluebird has a different connotation out here.
What's... Well, do you know what I'm talking about? There could be some school bus pods out
there. Yeah, for sure.
I want to just...
Can you imagine the roadie? Andrew Axi, I'm looking at you, bud. You need to round up a posse. Chanel, all of our, like, Ontario buds would be so fun.
Mike the bud.
Mike the bud, for sure. He can drive.
He can hang out and hand out timbits.
Or maybe it's a Via Rail joint.
Oh, hit the. Oh,
that's
maybe.
Pretty Canadian.
Yeah.
You know what? Let's call Via Rail and see if they'll give us a special bod code. That if you say you're going to TNT in Montreal, they'll give you a special rate.
Yeah. Okay. If they're going to JFL, even.
Yeah.
This is a full on.
Train bods. It's training day. We need all hands on deck. Because historically, although there have only been twice, Montreal's a little sluggish for us with ticket sales. Yeah. But maybe we can gear up some special guests, too.
Look, it's Rebs.
Yeah. Hi, Rebs. How's it going, bud?
He's looking around. Where are you?
We haven't talked since Your Two Cents came out.
Yeah, and now it's out.
Yeah, and the reviews have been great.
Mm-hmm.
This is the interesting thing. Back when we did Street Sense, there were less things competing for eyeballs. So people would be more apt to watch the entire episode, right?
Mm-hmm.
Plus, there was a narrative arc. So maybe you would stay tuned to see what happened with Ken from Byco in the end of the show. Now that it's on the internet, we can carve up the content in a way to make it more user-friendly. So if you do like Arkells but don't have a student loan, or you are in the market for a phone, you can just watch the segment that appeals to you the most.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the biggest education for us has been in how people ingest things nowadays. Like on which platforms and stuff, and how people are reluctant to click over between platforms.
Yeah, people, they they watch clips almost. They're getting used to the format of how Instagram or whatever, Twitter, provides just 2 minutes of whatever and the opportunity to go further. So unless you're a YouTube person, then everything has to be 10 minutes. Like my kids, they all watch YouTube and the videos are between 10 and 15 minutes.
And they'll watch them no problem.
Oh yeah, for sure, definitely. So, and it's like you said earlier, it's honestly, it's just the idea of picking and choosing. They get used to having their own decision, and the idea of sitting in front of a TV and having what's presented to you at this time and that time, just kind of, people are like, I can't sit around and wait an hour and a half, or I don't know what I'm doing in 2 hours to watch this anymore.
Well, exactly. Unless it's a Raptors game or something that starts at a certain time that you can only see in one place, like, why would you sit through something that doesn't pertain to you? So yeah, even our this time on, like, setting up the show, that's 40 seconds. People don't have the attention span to sit through that.
Like, if I'm up at my mom's, there's nothing there but TV and just normal cable. It's like, there's nothing on ever, and I forgot how much I disliked trying to find something to watch on television.
So what do you watch? Yeah. CHCH?
Yeah, exactly. That's
like,
that's
you watch Jaya Cree?
No, these shows in the morning, and it's like all the old stuff, like Laverne and Shirley, I Love Lucy.
Oh, that's great.
All those shows are on there, for sure. So it's just kind of like I woke up and it's 1982.
That's kind of the best. You're living at home, you're sitting on the couch with your mom, you're watching old shows.
And CHCH has that same old sound they've had since the 80s, that doo-doo-doo-doo.
It's the best. But they have all these shows like Jaya Cree, Indonesia's weekly variety magazine show.
Depending on what time.
I love watching those. Jaya Cree. So... Your Two Cents has been going gangbusters. The reviews have been great. It's been a really fun experience for our little company. Mm-hmm. And best of all, it's working.
Yeah.
Making stuff with a sponsor as opposed to with a network just feels like such a streamlined process.
It's the move. And we're seeing, you know, anything that, you know, when you're in our position now where you've made a couple things and you see how sometimes it can be easy and sometimes it's not. And like you said, whenever all of a sudden there's 50 different people that have to go through a chain to make one decision with a network, it just takes, it for one, it takes a lot of the humor out of what you're trying to do. It takes a lot of the
joy.
The idea of improv or any of that stuff, if you're trying to capture something that is more of a feeling as opposed to written on paper perfect, and then has to go up the chain and it comes down differently, and it's like, how can you work with that? So it must be more freeing for you being kind of in that for 25 plus years.
Yeah, it really is.
And doing it on your own now.
Well, yeah, and also we can be nimble in how we change how we roll things out to accommodate the audience. So we take our stuff to where the audience is instead of trying to convince them to come over. Like Sylvia, as you know, who we work with, made the point that people, if they're on Twitter and they see an Instagram link, they're like, I'm not going over to Instagram to watch that. I'm on Twitter right now. Yeah. That's something that you would never think about, but it's really a thing.
Be that guy in a club who's like, I'm not going there. I'm on Twitter right now.
Yeah.
I'm not leaving. Get the fuck out of here. I'm staying on Twitter.
I'm going to Instagram. What's wrong with you people? Have we even updated the people on the record? We have so many good songs now.
Yeah, we gave a little tidbit of last time, but we have to kind of... we're almost ready to roll out the idea of what it is and how it's going to work. And I think in terms of, we should probably do it in kind of an episodic set situation, you know, because I think the funniest way this works is kind of visually, we've spoken as like kind of Donovan being at the helm of this whole thing, right?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Him picking each of the characters from the show to do a song.
And there are some surprising combinations together in certain songs. And yeah, some people that you might not expect get their own song.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Like
Byron has a song on the record. Yeah. Maybe didn't see that coming.
You didn't think Byron would all of a sudden have a jam.
And it's a banger.
It is a banger.
There's some obvious ones like Okay Guys, Decolle Guys. Like, of course, that's going to be a song on the record. But then some sneaky ones. Like, we have new children's entertainers named Jean-Guy Puyallec that we haven't even introduced to you guys yet.
Yeah. And Jean-Guy talks like this. And Alec is, as he's classically trained. Well, they're both failed scat singers. It's basically those guys.
Yeah.
They're what were they called? Scat singers.
So Scat's ass.
They're trying to go as a English, French, Canadian kids combo. That's their new angle.
It's so bad.
They kind of have a history, right, with the podcast in the past, but it's just maybe the first time where someone has changed the game, their game, to try and make it work.
Did I ever tell you about in junior high there were guys named Hugs Not Drugs? They were convicts that came to speak to our junior high class. There's something like that about Jean-Guy Puyallec.
Yeah.
Like maybe they're starting with community service.
I remember a guy came to my high school, Roger Caron. He wrote a book about being in jail from like 15 years old. He stole like a television or something and in and out and spent his whole life in jail. And he came to our school when he was out and he was like in his 60s or late 50s or something. And then he like did something and he's like back in again.
No. Like the week after he was talking to you guys?
Yeah, well, he was talking about, something like that. But he was talking, this was in the early 90s, obviously, but he was talking about how he couldn't deal with being out, really. Like the lights being a little bright and stuff.
Aww. So he
didn't like it, yeah.
Did you have, there was a band in Halifax called Blue Thunder, and it was made up of cops playing rock music show that cops were like, they're kinda just cool. Like us, yeah. Like Mustang Sally, the 15-minute version.
Like when they do rap, and they're like, come on, guys, we can do this.
Or when they stop to run a pattern, catch a football on a street in a neighborhood to show that they're cool. Beer and button, dweird it, dweird it, beer and button, Mustang Sally. We haven't even talked since Switzy.
Yeah, you went to Switzerland.
I know, we're doing the speed round. We're getting all caught up. We stayed in a tiny village called Vengen.
You know what? The beauty of if you watch the YouTube pod, maybe we can share a couple of those beautiful pictures that you have of
views.
Aaron can fire those on there.
And yeah, we stayed in a village called Vengen, which has a population of 2,000, except for one weekend a year when the Lohenbrauchen downhill World Cup ski race is on.
Everyone's got the cowbells.
Yeah. So then there's 22,000 people in this village for one weekend. But this was not the weekend we were there. We rented an Airbnb, stayed in a Swiss chalet, and this village was very quiet, but it was the perfect...
That Swiss chalet had Toblerone bar.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, right?
No festive special, though. But it was the perfect place to take trains from to go around on little day trips to different places like Interlaken, which is between two lakes. Really pretty place. Something I didn't know is that the majority of the tourists we encountered, like really a vast majority, were from India. And apparently the reason for this is because a lot of Bollywood movies are shot in Switzerland. And so that propels the tourism industry because people want to come see where their favorite movies were shot.
The location scouters.
They neat love that thing, stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I took a train to the top of Europe, this place called Jagdfrog.
So that's the top of Europe?
It's the top of Europe.
Jagdfrog?
Outdoor, there's a research station where you can go outdoors on the platform. And it was apparently in a James Bond movie, I think with Roger Moore, back in the day. It's so visual.
Is that the one they ski down?
Good question.
I'll find it during the break.
Maybe I'll find it right now. But the Roger Moore.
Aaron can burl it across as you're talking right now.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he'll find it.
Yeah. It's the big coming down the hill.
Over and out.
Big coming down the hill.
But most of the people who go to the top of Europe stay indoors because they have a Lindt chocolate factory at the top of the mountain. The things that you know about Switzerland, it is extremely efficient, totally true. They take their chocolate very seriously, totally true.
It's expensive and too, right?
Expensive AF.
Yeah.
But this village we were staying in had no cars, so there was no din. It was just silent, and it was surrounded by mountains and valleys. So wow. The only noise you can hear is the jingles of the cows and goats with bells around their neck.
That's crazy.
It was so cool.
People just walking around. Everything's close enough to walk.
Yeah. As you know, you get struck by when you're in Europe how intense the history is, like things here from the 1960s we think are old.
Oh, I know, like, there, eh?
We took the girls to a castle. We went inside a mountain to watch the glacier melting, resulting in waterfalls. Like, there is quite an education to be had by traveling. And, you know, if the worst thing that you come out of a trip with is you're happy with where you live and you can't wait to get home, that's also an important thing to remind yourself, too.
Yeah, it's different, right? How was the food for the kids?
Well, because we had an Airbnb, it was a lot of like pasta and chicken and rice and kind of the usual stuff. We got our chocolate fondue on.
Yeah.
But like anywhere, like most people, I shouldn't say like anywhere, like many places, most people here speak English. It wasn't so foreign as far as things for them to eat. Yeah. You can get chocolate milk, all the staples, you know. Mm-hmm. Chicken fingers. We had a couple of encounters with people that were less than friendly, but by and large, it was awesome. It's such a spectacularly beautiful place and so clean.
Everything just dialed, right?
Just dialed. And if they say the train leaves at 12:01 and it's 12 and the train's not there yet, and you're like, how? It does, trust me. Hey, let's take a break and then we'll pull the fun robot.
Like a Swiss watch, right?
Yeah.
Bam, bam, bam! That orange
button! Hey, Dustin.
Yeah, how are you, Gary?
Good. How can I say this? It's not a big deal. But
we're at a ball game here. Like, this is going to be a great day. You look a little upset. The game hasn't even started yet. What's going on?
I'm not upset, and it's not a big deal. But we've been roommates for a couple months now, right?
Yeah.
And everything's going great.
Yeah.
But you know how when we moved in, and it's not a big deal, but when we moved in, I said the only thing that I really care about is the order that things get placed in the fridge, right? Goes dairy, vegetables, meat, fruit. So the fruit is always in the crisper.
I know you said that.
And yeah, it's not a big deal. You're bringing that up here? It's not a big deal. I guess I'm just wondering.
It's not a big deal.
How many times I have to ask you to not, please don't put the yogurt in the crisper where the fruit goes. That's it.
Like you were about to open up your peanuts there and then you put them down almost in disgust.
Yeah, okay, but you're...
In memory of this?
You're making it a big deal, though, and I'm saying it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. But just don't ever do it, please.
Okay. Can we watch the game here?
I would love that.
Okay.
You know, it's not fun for me to have to bring up. Okay?
I know. I won't do it anymore, okay?
Okay.
Can we watch
the
game?
No big deal.
It's
not a big deal.
A parrot... it might be a little bit of a big deal, I would think.
Also, now, are you saying it's a big deal? Because
I was just trying to find a way to tell
my roommate about that's not a big deal.
I bought you a ticket for the Blue Jays, and we're sitting here, and we have afternoon, the dome's open, it's a beautiful day.
Yeah.
And you're bringing this up?
Exactly.
And you're saying it's not a big deal, but
obviously... It's not a big deal.
It's a big deal because we're here.
Well, I feel like you're making it a big deal.
You didn't even eat your peanuts. You didn't even want your peanuts.
What? Okay. All right, are we doing this? It's not a big deal. But it's not a big deal.
It's not a big deal.
You said, can I buy you some peanuts? But you didn't say, would you like a drink to go with that? And it's not a big deal, but how am I supposed to eat the peanuts if I can't drink something and choke them down?
That's something else now. You never said anything about that. Is that why you're upset?
It's not a big deal, but if you're gonna buy someone peanuts, you buy them a drink.
Because what am I supposed to do? I bought you the ticket and everything.
But you get to the front of the line, you get yourself peanuts, you get me peanuts, and then I'm supposed to wait in line behind you and then get myself a drink? Because you didn't offer?
I got the peanuts. We were beside each other, and I thought you would buy us drinks, but I'm like, well, I'll buy peanuts, assuming, someone needs to buy a drink. You haven't bought anything yet today.
Well,
maybe buy some drinks?
Okay. It's not a big deal, but usually when you buy a ticket for someone to something, that includes like a drink and a snack, and then the person who had the ticket bought for them pays for the parking. Like, that's...
Hey, you know what? That's
It's not a big deal, but that's just how...
It's not a big deal.
It's not a big deal, but that's just how it always has been.
You could have bought the drinks. That's not a big deal that you could have just bought the drinks. Why don't you go buy drinks now and then everything will be fine?
Well, it's not a big deal, but that's just not how it's done.
Just
I can't believe you're making a big deal out of this.
Oh, I'm making a... Okay, Gary.
Can we just watch the game?
Exactly.
Can we? Like, it's not a big deal, but this is a prime example of how I can't even say anything to you without you flying off the handle. Like, what I'm bringing up is not a big deal, but I feel like you're making it a big deal. How many times have I said this is not a big deal? And yet here you are, making it a big deal.
How did I get myself into this hell? Why am I in this hell right now?
Oh, so it's hell. Is that what this is?
Hell.
This is hell. Yeah,
because
okay.
I'm living with somebody who's constantly making something out of nothing. I haven't done anything wrong.
Oh, is that what I do?
You get mad at the fear of something happening.
Mad?
You
haven't even seen me mad. You've never seen me mad.
That's why this is hell then.
Well, I specifically said it's not a big deal though.
If it's only getting worse, and what is a big deal? What is that like if something's a big deal to you?
Well, that's why I guess I preface it by saying it's not a big deal, because what that does is it gives you the heads up that what I'm saying is not a big deal, so you don't need to be braced for it.
You know what? I don't want to go to baseball games with you anymore.
Well, now see, that is a big deal.
Yeah, that's a big deal. What do you think of that?
That feels like
what are you gonna do now?
I tried to bring up something that was not a big deal, and now you've turned it into a big deal.
Yeah, and I want to see what happens, because you said you don't want to see me when it's a big deal, so now it's a big deal, so let's see it. What are you gonna do now? No more baseball games.
Well, I guess the first thing I'm gonna do is get a drink, because I'm parked.
Yeah. Oh.
Because not you a big deal, get, but you didn't...
Maybe get me one too then, but when you're up there.
See, that's not how it goes. When you buy someone a ticket, it comes with a snack.
It's our last game.
I am really surprised you're taking this hard.
Go get the drinks then. See what happens. Maybe it won't be the last game.
Can I tell you something?
What?
It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
But I have nerve issues in my wrist, and then when I carry cold drinks, it sets it off.
That's
not a big deal, but I guess
I'll carry them. You gonna pay for it?
Well, I guess the thing is, if you're gonna carry them, you might as well pay for it.
No, because this is our last baseball game. If I see.
So we're both gonna go. We're both gonna.
No, I don't mind carrying them.
I'll pay.
With your wrist thing, I'll deal with the carrying, but you're paying. Just come pay, and maybe we'll go to another baseball game.
I can't believe how insensitive you're being about this.
It's a big deal.
No, you are making it a big deal, but it's really not. It's not a big deal.
It's a big deal for you to buy a drink right now.
Well, that's not a big deal. That's just someone buying a drink.
How about if you don't buy the drink, then we're not going to live together either. I'll find a new roommate.
Well, now, see, that is a big deal.
That's a big deal, too. Maybe that should have been the first thing that I said instead of the baseball game. How about we should find new roommates?
What?
Then maybe you'll buy me a beer.
You are completely blowing this out of proportion.
Gary.
Yeah?
Let's go. I'll carry. You be the Gary.
What if I just give you the money that I was going to use for parking?
Give me the... I already paid for parking.
I didn't know that. I'll buy the drinks then. Oh, the person who buys the ticket buys a drink and a snack only. The only way to preempt that is if the person who bought the ticket pays for parking. And then the rules have changed and it's not a big deal. But if
Gary,
you told me that...
You're a lawyer. You make $300,000 a year. And you won't buy me... You won't buy me a drink.
Define won't.
How about define the worst roommate of all time?
Define won't.
Won't.
You know, I have a family member who's a lawyer, and she will drop that move like at a restaurant with a maitre d'.
Define won't?
No. We like the table in the window. It's reserved. For what time? 7:30. It's 7:32. Well, we have a policy where we wait a few minutes. How many minutes? Show me the policy. Just an unwritten thing. We wait like 10 to 15 minutes. Give us the table. No.
Right away?
Give us the table. Yeah.
Give us the table.
They're not here. They reserved it for 7:30. That's the whole point of a reservation. So then finally, as happens in a few circumstances, the maitre d' will be like, fine, if you'll stop, I'll give you the table. And then we sit at the table, and she's like, isn't this nice? No.
Not
no
anymore.
No part of this is nice.
We've already gone to court, and it hasn't even
like, everyone's like, putting appetite. Their utensils down and looking over. Like, what's the kerfuffle? Like, that stuff?
Oh.
That is classic. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal falls under the same umbrella category as relax. And, sir, you need to calm down.
Yeah.
When was the last time you were furious?
Why would you ask that?
Because I guess in the umbrella category of it's not a big deal, escalating, have you ever been furious?
Well, I don't know. Furious. Like, what does furious mean? Like, throwing things and, like, breaking stuff?
No, like Lisa having to say, Jer, you need to calm down. Or you need to get a hold of yourself. Like someone trust whose judgment like?
Yeah. Well, we took John to summer camp this summer, like the open house day or whatever, the just to check out the place, and it's fantastic. Camp Kennebec. Anyway.
I love this story already. Setting is great.
We went to this fry truck, like great fry truck. And John was sitting right behind me, and he wanted fries. And so Lisa goes and gets the fries and hands them in the window to me. And it's a big, huge thing of fries, right? And I'm like, John, here. And John does, like, he's got something in his hand. He's like, he acts like he's got it in his hand. But I put it, like, in his hand. And I'm like, okay, you got it? And he's like, yeah, yeah. And then I let go of my hand, and I just... fries all over the butt of him and the floor. So I got really mad. I was like, because I told him to just realize that I'm handing you this something. You have to focus on, you know, carrying
just take
this
the fries.
So I was pretty mad. But
was there ketchup and stuff too?
No, thank God. It's just salty fries. So I was, I wouldn't say I was furious, but I was mad enough to like, he was upset because I was upset. I was like, John, come on, you can't do that. This is like looking all over the car. But, you know, Jack came and picked them all up. And
it wasn't a thing.
Yeah. And even Lisa was like, calm down. But I was like, you know, furious enough to be like, set me off to be kind of like bummed out for a little while. But, and I hate that. You know, I hate that when that happens to people where you're. You're set off, and it's hard to get back on track.
I know. It busts your flow. I mean?
Yeah. No, but even when you're in that crappy rut, you're like, to get back into the, like, stop being, you know, a curmudgeon, you know? So,
that's And you life. Know it's stupid.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's you're kind so of stupid. Embarrassed for how you reacted or something.
Exactly. Exactly, for sure. Yeah.
But you know, I think so you and I
apologize and try and move on, but it's like
you have to eat it. I think you and I probably have less of those instances as fathers than our fathers did.
Yeah, I'd say.
Right?
For sure.
But I think like
well,
was
my dad, yeah.
Was mine too. As you know, he died when I was 7, but I have recollections of him being very unhappy and angry with the whole family and kind of brat's the wrong word, but kind of pouting and right?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And my dad had anger issues.
So, right.
When he was mad for like 2 days.
But I try to be very conscious of that. Like Shug, just not a fast person. She doesn't really hustle, she doesn't really hurry. And I should expect that from her and not get frustrated when she's dawdling to get out the door when all I'm trying to do is get her to her dance class on time, right? But it's funny how those same issues that our parents probably had with us, now that we're parents, are infuriating is the wrong word because it's never that big a deal. But it's the same stuff that comes up. It's the same, do I have to wear a jacket? Well, you might as well take one because if you have it, you have the option of putting it on. But if you don't take it and you're cold, then what? Like these ongoing...
And you know what? With kids and me having 3, they get bored mentally too sometimes and they find it amusing to stir it up a bit. You know?
Oh, interesting.
So even if they don't realize what they're doing... If it's late at night and I'm telling them to go to bed and I can see that I'm not happy, they'll laugh and I'm like, why do you want to make me more mad? Like, don't you understand this? I'm angry. This isn't funny to me.
They're poking the bear.
Yeah. And that's kids start to do that. And I think that has a lot to do with you have to kind of focus on them and keep... a relationship with them too, because I think if they start to feel that they're disconnecting, they'll do that. They'll try to piss you off in certain ways. And it can be unhealthy.
It's hard to be aware all the time and be present of the magic passing you by. But yesterday I was trying to get some work done. It was on a deadline. I was a little frantic trying to get this thing done in time. Indy gets home from school. She crawls up beside me and curls up beside me and she's kind of teasing me and tickling me and she wants to party.
Yeah.
And my first reaction was like, oh, I'm trying to get this stuff done. And I was like, get your head out of yourself.
Yeah.
The time will come not that far from now.
She won't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the best. But it's not always easy to remember with the very real pressures of life. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and my kids will hit me with that, too, all the time.
Come on, Dad. Oh, they actually say that.
Come on, Dad, it won't be forever that I ask you to do this.
Aw, oh, cat's in the cradle, right in your face.
They know, because we say, you know, I'd rather them, you know, play that card than, you know, not do anything or just kind of, you know, because kids can always figure out something to do if you can't do something with them, right?
Do you know what was the best? When we were in Switzerland, the village of Wengen had this outdoor chess board.
Nice.
And Indy and I started playing chess, yeah. And at first it was like kind of joke chess where she just picked up her pieces and bashed mine and then took them off the board like with no rules. But then joke I was like, chess. You know what? If we're going to do this, let's do it right. Here are let's all the pieces, it. Here how they move. And so we spent the week playing chess against each other.
So just by the taking end of the week, time. Did she know she's how great. To play?
Nice. She's great at playing chess and her instincts are really good. So we bought a little chess board to play chess on the plane on the way home.
Nice.
Yeah, it was wicked.
That's good for the brain, chess.
Big time.
I played on my chess team at school.
I'm sorry?
One of my few teams of any kind of
Did you social. Really?
Yeah.
We should play chess.
I'm not very good. My friend Alex.
I'm not very good.
My friend Alex is really good at chess.
I bet he's good.
So maybe that's why I think I suck, because he's really good at chess.
I could see him being really good.
Yeah.
Hey, good chatting, bud.
Hey, good chatting there, bud.
Bra.
Bananas are potassium. Bananas are yellow.
Bananas, bananas come in bunches. Sometimes there's tarantulas in them.
But